It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
B-team, we can get into more of that, you know, the course of the next couple of days here. I guess they're going to wrap up on Wednesday, so we have some time to discuss this. But the Giants said they will not rule out taking a quarterback at the third pick, or they will not rule out any position there. So everything right now is still on the table for the Giants. We've talked about this a lot. Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston. I don't know who that quarterback is going to be. It does feel like they're going to take somewhere or somebody from somewhere. Yeah. They better, and whoever they take better be ready to play starting at the least the following season, week one, if not at the end of this current season.
I think every quote that I've heard, this includes Muji as well. I mean, has anything been remotely interesting? Yeah, we could take a quarterback, or we could just do best available, or we could do this, or we could trade out. We could trade up. Yeah, we could do a lot. And no kidding, there's only so many options you can do with a draft here. The one thing that I will say, though, for the Giants is that, listen, we might not love the Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, and you see Russell with his corny tweet. Did you see his tweet? Oh, my God.
He's a cornball.
He is absolute cornfest.
Yeah.
He tweeted something over the weekend like, oh, the great Bambino must be smiling. Ah, dude,
Come on, man.
You try to fit in so badly. Stop. Nobody even really wants you here, dude. You're a one-year Band-Aid. Stop. What are we doing? But at least by having Winston and Russell Wilson, which is a lot better than what they had last year with Locke and DeVito, yeah, in theory, they don't have to reach or do something desperate. They can allow the board to come to them a little bit more in spots and be a little more proactive in other spots.
Okay, here's the most interesting thing that I took from the, I think it was the Giants website who had the one-on-one with Joe Shane.
All right.
The number one thing that I took was he said that based off the offseason, they feel that they put themselves in a spot in the draft. And this is what they always want to do. You want to put yourself to a spot in the draft where you're not desperate for one need, right?
Yep.
This is nothing new. Joe Shane's not breaking any news here. But he did say that when he first got here, now conveniently, 2022 happened to be a bust. He did say that unlike 2022, when we had to trim some salary cap and maybe you're being forced in a position of need. So he was kind of, in my mind, I read that as making excuses for picking Evan Neal and Kayvon Thibodeau in 2022.
He's resetting the clock here. And by resetting the clock, not that it's going to really fool us here. I mean, the clock is what it is. Giants start out 1-6, then they look awful. That clock's going to be loud ticking. But it's not a bad play because it might work for a few people.
And I bet Mara buys it.
He might. I mean, that's really all that matters. Doesn't matter what we say or what people call up to us and say on the radio. It's what ownership thinks. It's an interesting, you know, page from the playbook. It's one we've seen a million times, but you basically lump it on somebody else's doorstep. Hey, it was a mess before we got here. It was in shambles before we got here. There's only so many things that we could do. And, you know, now we're finally in a position. Basically, what you said is based on our diligence and our work, we have now stabilized the situation enough, despite what was done before us in a horrendous way. And we had to pick up the rubble and work around it, we can now operate like a normal NFL franchise because we have built us back up to a base that is at least representative of some other NFL rosters. Yeah. That's what he's saying.
I'm trying to get the exact quote from these questions here. It is on Giants.com, the one-on-one Q&A. Blah, 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 quarterback position, because it is a, I mean, basically, I summed it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they talk about Russell Wilson and his leadership.
Oh,
and blah, blah. I know, dude. Yeah, he's going to throw 20 touchdowns. We know that minimum. But yeah, I mean, he said that they want to, the only other, here we go. Shane, since I've been here, we've tried to set up on draft day that we could go play on a game that day, meaning like you want your roster to be set, ready to play a game before draft day.
Mm-hmm.
So draft day should just enhance it. Okay, he says, I feel like we're there now. That way you don't get backed into a corner or force yourself to do anything. Perfectly understood. It continues. The only year that didn't happen was probably my first year. We had to cut several players just to get under the salary cap. There were a lot more holes, so maybe you get into some need-based picks in that scenario. But now we're in a situation where you go through the roster and say, okay, throughout the draft, where can we still upgrade? We're not done. We still want to upgrade. We have five picks in the top 105. You could go any position, so we're not ruling any position out.
And I do like that position, and I do think that could help the Giants fortify their future because, yeah, again, you'd love to walk away with a quarterback here that's going to be around for a decade, but it doesn't...
It should always be your thought, though. You shouldn't be forced into taking Evan Neal.
But sometimes you are. I mean, when it's been banged over and over on that drum, Giants need an O-line, Giants need an O-line, Giants going back to get him, and Giants got to spruce up that O-line. And not that it was an erroneous statement, the Giants needed to solidify the O-line. I understand why he took Neal. He missed on Neal. He had a colossal whiff on. That's bad. That's his ugly. Kayvon Thibodeau's good. He's not great, but Neal's a complete stiff. So that is a whiff job right there if I ever saw one. But part of being like a good franchise really is being able to operate freely. Mental clarity is a beautiful thing. And when it's so distorted in the wrong direction and the base of talent or the infrastructure is so off, you do things that you don't even necessarily believe in because you feel like you have to do it there, and that's where you compound it. I will say this for them. They had a good draft last year. Not great, but good. I think that they are at least in the right state of mind because they've done some good things this offseason where they don't have to do anything stupid.
I can't wait to see it play out.
Me too.
First the draft coming up the end of next month and then in the season because I believe they think they're more talented than they are in reality. All right, back to the torpedo bat conversation, 888-808-1019. Ray is in Atlanta. What's up, Ray?
Hey, guys. Listen, I think this whole thing is kind of silly because we have played with various shapes of baseball bats our whole lives, and if you go look at Ty Cobb's back, Babe Ruth's back.
Hack Wilson.
Come on, they're all different shapes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys ever play, this will show my age.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever play with the Collier Strinsky model? I think it was Natarondi.
No.
How old do you think we are, for goodness sake, right?
We used metal. We didn't hit with wood in Little League. Come on, man. We used the Black Magic. We were Easton.
I'm a lot older than you guys. I'm 75. In high school, we had a Yastrzemski model bat, which I hated, but it had a constant diameter from the tip down to near the label, okay?
Huh.
And it was a strange-looking bat, but it was, you know, a Yastrzemski model. The only difference, as long as these bats are within the, what is it, roughly 2.5 inches.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Then they can do whatever they want.
And so can every other team.
Shave.
Right, for now, and thank you for the call, Ray, for now, until the rules get changed. And if it results in an offense that's going to hit 15 home runs every three games, the rules will get changed. I mean, I don't anticipate that happening, meaning the Yankees hitting 15 home runs every three games. Mm-hmm. But if they do, and then the Braves do, and then the Rays do, whatever, and the Mets do, then I think that the rules will get changed.
Well, think about this. So we go through the charades of, all right, put your hands up, let me see your bell, any spider attack, any sticky stuff, right? And that's just, I mean, that's a dog and pony show. There's nothing official about it.
Right.
Because the there's not an actual barometer of stickiness. It's subjective. So that's a joke, okay? Going back to George Brett and 83 with the Pine Tar with Billy Martin. Okay, now we know, okay, you can do this, you can't do this. Let's say, now I fully believe that no matter what, they can hit 9,000 home runs the rest of the year. I don't believe anything will change in season. I could be wrong, but I don't believe they will. But if they do, or when they do, and if they do, how are you going to check the diameter of a bat? Like, let's say, oh, no, that one looks a little suspicious. You're going to get out a little ruler?
Yes. Yeah, don't they already?
Yeah, they are, but do you want to see that?
I'm saying, don't they already have that? Just like they do with the curve of the stick in hockey, where if a coach says, no, I think that curve is too much, they go to the a ruler. I mean, same thing with the pine tar, with the rule with that, with George Brett. You go look at the pine tars at certain, past a certain
home
amount.
Home plate,
too much,
right,
on
the
it.
Late,
yeah,
man,
whatever.
But isn't, think about that.
I know, I'm just saying that these are things. Would you prefer a sport in which we have the spider tech allowed and whatever type of bats teams want to use allowed? Would you maximize teams within the rules, but trying to, you know, whether it's loopholes or just maximizing...
I know, like, meaning okay, where everybody can do whatever they want, basically.
Let's say we keep the torpedo bats.
Yep.
I mean, you can't get out of control with changing the diameters or the parameters around the specific diameter of the bat. You can't go nuts with that.
There's going to be something that looks completely different, that somebody's going to develop something.
I know.
At some point soon, that's going to look just
right,
straight
even
up
wider.
Wacky.
I know. Well, because it already looks weird. But that you can't start messing with. But if you keep this within the rules, and yeah, you could move make the barrel fatter, sure, move it from the end of the bat, then why not? Why shouldn't pitchers be allowed to have some kind of, you know,
substance to offset the advantage for the perceived advantage?
Whatever.
It's a good question. I mean, like, basically what you're asking me is that, well, if the hitters are going to cheat, can the pitchers cheat? Or not even cheat, but push the parameters of what's legal.
Exactly.
Right. A better way to frame it. I would say, sure, get a better grip. Get some more, you know, RPMs. Get a tighter breaking ball. Get a little more, you know, on that four-seamer to get a little more ride. Go for it, man. It's chilly out. Okay. The problem is, if we say yes and acquiesce to that, then the boundaries from that will be pushed even more, and then even more, and then even more. It won't be spider tack. It will be something else that some physicist develops. And now there's everything's blurred.
See, one thing I do think it should be uniform in the shape of the bat. I don't believe that you should be able to have different shapes for different players. Now, I know not everybody's going to be on board with that. Just look at the Yankees. Judge wants no part of it, because why would he?
Yeah.
But don't you think you can use different lengths? You could use different weight.
But what's the difference? Because mass, what is it? Mass,
yeah,
velocity,
fine,
whatever it was.
I still feel like
speaking
the shape.
Speaking about being a physicist.
I still feel like the shape of the bat, and maybe that even includes the knobs. We've seen guys with no knob. You know,
McNeil,
Jeff McNeil doesn't want to
yeah.
use it. Certain guys have changed the knobs.
Yeah.
Maybe that. Well, then why couldn't you just theoretically take the weight that you would have on a knob and put that into the barrel? And then take the weight from the end of the bat and also put that in the barrel.
I think that you could. Okay, but the problem would be then the handle would be too vulnerable to shattering,
which
is a disadvantage for the hitter.
But you could grip it up with, well, no, I'm not saying make it thin. I'm saying take the bottom, the little knob.
Uh-huh.
Like, guys have removed that to where it's a knobless.
No, I know. And take that mass and put it on the barrel. Well, you can, as long as it doesn't exceed 2.51.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So,
you could. I guess you can. And to that, I would say, as long as it's within 2.51, I guess I don't really have an issue with it.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I just feel like, and you remember, this was an issue going back to Little League with the metal bats, and when they started to evolve, I remember at certain bats, the weight and length, like you could get a bat that was 31 inches, whatever.
They call it a drop now.
Yeah,
the drop can't be more.
Yeah, so it was a significant drop, and the bat was illegal. This is going back, you know, 30 years for me.
Yeah.
So imagine how it's evolved. I'm not in the game anymore like you are, but the drop, I'm sure, now is even more significant in some of the bats that they can make, where it feels like a feather, but you got a huge-ass barrel.
It's a racket. I just what I said to start the show.
$500.
Ask Hoff. His sons play ball. I mean,
have my Easton. I think it was 30.
Do you really? You have the green one or the black one?
I have a gray one.
Gray
I remember
one.
My father spent probably like $130. No, this is back in.
That's a ton of money back then, dude. That's a lot of. That's a big bat,
especially for a kid that couldn't hit.
You could have used a torpedo bat.
I was on one of the travel teams, but it was it was legal. 30? Could it be 30-inch, 22 ounces? That seems. Right?
That seems like a big disparity. How old are you? You're in high school at this point?
No, a little bit younger than that.
Okay, so probably.
I had it at home. I could look at the measurements. But
you're probably at that point, maybe a 30. Yeah,
and it started to get out of control.
Yeah, maybe.
Point is,
it was gray. What was the lettering?
Easton
green?
Block? No, block red. It was black red.
Oh, I remember those. Okay, I remember those. See, we had the black magic. You didn't play with the black
with that
magic
little top? No, not black magic.
Oh, there was
the
a
clear
stat
top. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, like, yeah. I do. Well, you see, wow, that 5 years. That's wow.
What
that big of a
years
difference in bats? It's not like, you know.
Oh, from you and I.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like the advancements were that. I don't know. I just think that the more you push, the more you probe, the more you examine, and the more you get people who aren't baseball people involved in the game, whether it's the bounceability, if you will. Like, there's a couple of bats, and again, that's why I said Hoff knows this. You could be a 10-year-old kid, and you could play in one tournament. This is so stupid to me, but this is the way it is. You play in one tournament, and you could use it. They call it USSSA, so U-Trips, mm-hmm, right, which has a little more juice in it. And then if you play in another tournament that is where you can't use the juice bats, even though they're legal, then it's a USA. So if you go to, like, Dick's Sporting Goods, you have to it's got to stay USA stamp. And if it doesn't, you can't use the U-Trips because it's dangerous. Gets back to the pitcher quicker. Home runs are easier. I don't know why we don't create one uniform bat.
That's what I'm saying.
We could have Marucci, we could have Easton, we could have Rawlings, we could have anything you want, but just like the specification should be the same. Because aside from danger, you are teaching kids who really aren't good hitters, you're creating a false sense of accomplishment, right, with a bat that's like a trampoline.
So we agree. I mean, I know you're talking about it from a youth level, but
it
I'm
starts
about
there.
The
so that's what I'm
well,
saying.
Well, that's the point. So it should be a uniform.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't have to be the same length.
No,
or the same
of course
weight.
Not. Aaron Judge is 6'8", okay, you know, right. Volpe's 5'10".
Within the parameters, it should be the same, to me, the same shape. I'm not saying that the torpedo bat should be outlawed.
Yep.
But if baseball is going to make a change, then make a change. It shouldn't be two different kind of bats in the same sport.
Boy, at least
do
we
use two different balls? I mean, what if there's a pitcher who likes to use a ball with different seam? I mean, we're not using two different balls. Why are we using two different bats?
I mean, although they do have an American League and a National League ball.
But aren't they the same exact or no?
I don't know if they just stamped the commissioner or whatever. I mean, I can't imagine the seams or that. Here's the thing. Even baseballs have been very different over the years. They talk about, see, baseballs were never, and I know most people know, but baseballs were never juiced. The reason why it's an aerodynamic thing, the reason why balls went further and people say they were juiced is because these seams were lower, which means they cut through the air quicker, which means they go further. If you've got a raised seam, think about this, you've got a raised seam, the more, even as that thing circles, you know, or backspin, which is what you want when you hit a ball well, not topspin, backspin, you're going through the air slower because the seams, from a physics perspective, are truly slowing you down. So if the seams are lower and smaller, it's going to go further. So it was more of a seam thing than an actual, you know, inner construction juice thing for a baseball. This is the problem with baseball. Look what we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're talking about the
seams. Well, you know, I can get a little geeky with this stuff, but I know.
I always like the raised seams because it's easier to get a better grip on
100%.
And make a nasty curve on that. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. I don't think the Yankees are going to be a good test of this because they're just too good offensively for a variety of reasons, but I do think a team like the Mets or other teams, BT, when they start getting their hands on some of these bats, then we're really going to see it. But it is just, I mean, this is a story that's taking over the baseball world now, and you know teams are going to be trying to use these things more often. And that is going to be something that, to your point, not only locally, but nationally, everybody's going to have an eye on with every batter, what type of bat they're using, who's using the torpedo bats, and how impactful is it?
Everybody's going to be doing a digging their stories, finding out who's already used it. What do we miss last year? You know what's coming. I think I don't think the Mets will be a good indication of, like, I think the Mets are going to hit no matter what they use. I mean, listen,
I'm not sold yet.
Okay, I understand you're not sold. I thought that the Mets, ironically, they pitched the heck out of it for the most part.
Yeah,
I mean, really, crazy.
David Stern's a freaking genius. Until Griffin Cannon going out there mowing down.
He looked really good. Yeah, he looked really good. I thought the Mets were good, especially without Manaea, and I'm not a big Montas guy, but certainly without Manaea until Senga gets in rhythm here. I thought the Mets were going to have to win some games.
Yeah.
And I said this, 8-7, 7-6, 6-5. It was the opposite. Like, if the Mets don't hit this year, I mean, I
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road, in, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done, out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
I would be really surprised. Isn't I don't know if the pitching holds up, I would be very surprised
if they
don't
hit a little bit. Isn't it funny that the two main themes all offseason long and in the spring were Yankees can pitch,
yep,
Mets can hit.
Oh, I know. I was thinking about the exact opposite.
Three games in, the Mets and David Stearns with no names going, all due respect, you know,
yeah,
Tyler McGill and Griffin Canning.
Mm-hmm.
Clay Holmes, a converted bullpen arm. The starting wasn't the problem.
No.
It was those pathetic bats, Lindor, Alonso, Nimmo, Vienta, basically everybody outside of Juan Soto. And with the Yankees, the pitching wasn't great.
No.
But yet they just mashed the Brewers to death over the course of the weekend. So I don't think that that storyline will keep up. And I do expect the Mets to hit, but I don't believe, BT, it's as certain as everybody thinks. Soto, yes. Mm-hmm. Lindor, eventually. I'm not even worried about Lindor.
No, I hear
but,
you.
I mean, for the first month or so.
It's annoying, but you're not worried.
He's going to hit. This is exactly what he does.
Yeah.
He stinks in March, April, early May. Then he gets going, plays like an MVP. So once that happens, then maybe the Mets season will start. I am concerned about Alonso and Nimmo, and to a lesser extent, Vientos.
I'm concerned about Nimmo because I don't know that he's still healthy or that he's healthy yet. Wasn't really healthy last year. His numbers dropped. I believe, I remember saying this to you, and I don't have the stats up in front of me, so I could be off on this, but I think it's 4 years in a row his on-base percentage has dropped. You know, he ran a little bit more last year, so I shouldn't say he doesn't run, but he's not a base dealer. He's got pop. He's a good energy guy, but he doesn't look right. He doesn't look healthy, and he wasn't really healthy a year ago. So I don't, I always want to make sure I'm careful because I actually really like Brandon Nimmo. I like his style. Mm-hmm. I like what he represents. I don't love him as a player. So I don't know that he's going to have a really good season because I don't know that he's fully healthy. If Alonso were to bomb, and by bomb I mean go again, you know, hit 240 with 30-something home runs and 80-something, I mean, that's just unacceptable. I don't see that happening.
Well, that's the point.
Not with Soto in front of you.
Well,
come on.
I mean, but you know Lindor's going to do what he does eventually. You know Soto's going to do what he does all the time, which then brings it back to, okay, who's behind him? We've already seen the biggest fears of Met fans play out in the first series, where multiple times Alonso, Nimmo, and Vientos came up with a chance to do damage with Soto on base, and they failed multiple times. It's a small sample, sure, but this was something that was questioned going in, and the more teams, opposing teams, see that, the less they're going to be willing to give in. Remember, Soto did. I didn't see this the night of when we remember the day after we broke down the at-bat.
Yes.
He did clarify he was looking for a fastball there. 3-2, he's probably thinking, he's not going to want to walk me here. He's not going to throw another slider. He's going to come challenge me, and if he does, I'm going to make him pay.
Yep.
To Hader's credit, he wasn't throwing him a fastball because he knows what would happen. Soto would have hit it 9 miles, so he throws him a slider out of the zone. Soto chases. Mets lose the game. More teams are going to do that and just not give him something to hit, which means Soto's going to walk more because he's not going to expand his zone, which means it's going to be on Alonso, Nimmo, and Vientos.
He's not passing that baton to Judge anymore. That's a storyline right there. Listen,
it's not about Soto not being good enough. It's about the other teams not giving him something good to hit.
Oh, I get it. Listen.
Where they had to with Judge behind him, more so with Pete. And then it's going to really be on Pete, Nemo, and Vientos. If they don't do it, the Mets aren't going to win.
See, Soto is so entrenched in his process, he's not going to deviate from it. Right. There's going to be times where you're going to be pissed, and I'll understand it, and Met fans will be pissed like, oh, come on, swing the bat, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, remember last year with Soto and Judge?
Yeah, right.
A little bit, right? So you want a guy making that money, you want him to swing the bat. But he got the money because of his process, and he will not deviate from that.
Which I respect. He shouldn't.
That's why he's, you know, again, he's not a 325-30 hitter. He's not a 330 hitter in his career. He's not a guy who's going to always hit 40 home runs. His main talent, his all-time transcendent talent, his generational talent, is getting on base and his ability to discern a ball from a strike. So if you start cutting into that, then that's a problem because now he's not Juan Soto. I'm not worried about that. What I don't love, though, is the lower third of the Mets lineup. And I know there's a few variations of it. You get a little Siri, I saw him steal. You know, you get the whole Siri experience the other day.
He stole that run.
I like that. Yeah. I know I like that. And he's going to catch. He's going to hit some home runs as well, but he might hit 180. You know, Beatty hasn't hit yet. You know, Siri is, you know, 185 a year ago. Torrens, you know, Winker I like a couple days a week, but I don't love him. Marte looks like he's washed. I mean, Acuna, who knows what you really get from him. Those are a lot of names that are going to be playing fairly regularly for the New York Mets in that 7, I know Alvarez has to come back, that's even maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 slot that have a lot to prove.
Of those guys that you just mentioned, who do you trust to give the best at bat the most?
I'd say maybe Winker right now. Maybe Winker.
For me, it's Acuna. Out of the bottom order you're talking about. I wasn't having Winker in there.
Okay, all right. If I'm going to get rid of Winker, so, I'm going to look at Marte, Torrens, Acuna, Beatty, Senger, Siri. I'd say Acuna, too.
Yeah, so my point is it's almost as important. Because remember, when we saw the Yankees really take off last year, it was the guys in front of Soto and Judge that were imperative. Gleyber getting on.
Yep.
Once Gleyber got on, it was, because now you got Soto and Judge, and you're kind of screwed there. You're going to have to pitch to one of the two. If, let's say, Acuna was hitting ninth, and he's given quality at-bats, and he starts to develop as an offensive player getting on base, then you have Lindor one, and when he gets going, now, instead of who's behind him, it's, well, he's got first and second, or whatever, first and second, first and third for Soto. In that scenario, you also have to try to come over the plate and pitch to him as opposed to pitch around, because either way, then they'd be in more trouble regardless of who's behind him. You see what I'm saying?
I totally get it. I understand
so
what you're saying.
So it's just as important almost in this spot who's hitting ninth. That's why I would go Acuna. I think Acuna is a good offensive player. He has given mature, big league at-bats against some quality pitching, even in his limited time in the big leagues. And him ninth can be a difference maker in this Mets lineup, getting on in front of Lindor and Juan Soto.
See, Sal, I look at the Mets lineup, and again, I'm not even going to overreact to Lindor. I mean, it's an old story. Can you please wait? One of these years, can you do something? I mean, maybe he will. It's only a couple
of games.
Be
curious if he's in the lineup tonight after his wife gave birth to his first son.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that yet. But I'm not even going to get on Lindor because I know he's going to eventually do what he does, and Soto's going to be Soto. I don't think he'll be last year's version of Soto in terms of the power, but I think everything else will stack up. Soto's going to be really good. I happen to think Pete's going to have a good year. I'm not positive about that.
Okay, if he doesn't.
Based on what I feel about Nimmo, which is you know, the Martes, the Winkers, Beatty's, Mauricio up, like, then the Mets lineup is honestly not that impressive.
Correct. It would be the top three. I'm assuming that Vientos is going to be Vientos. I trust him more than I do.
I've said the same thing all winter. Okay. There's no way I'm bailing on him now. So I think he's going to be really good.
Then, as I said before the season, I think they're going to end up flipping Vientos and Alonso. But even so, the Mets in that scenario, if Nimmo was either hurt or not producing, and Alonso isn't producing, they're going to need another bat.
Yeah, there's too many holes there.
And by the way, it was the first, I know it's early and you shouldn't be overreacting, but we talked about this in the offseason, and the Mets did inquire about Vlad Guerrero Jr. early in the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
If you're using some common sense here, and you're Juan Soto, and it plays out this way, again, long way to go, but let's say it plays out this way where he doesn't have true protection behind him, he's going to be the one telling Steve Cohen, look, dude, you got to get me Guerrero. You got to get me. I'm not saying that justifies paying him $600 million or even $500 because I don't think he's worth that. But it was really the first time I started to think, they might need that big bat, where initially I was like, eh, they'll probably survive with Nimmo and Alonso. Maybe they do need one more big bat to legitimize.
Lengthen it.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. I think it's going to be a lineup that's going to scuffle here and there. And that's okay. If you have the pitching, which right, and I know they pitched well this past weekend, I think that it flips. I think the pitching eventually, whether it's the bullpen getting overworked, and then eventually the pertinent Met bats waking up and doing what they're supposed to do, I think the Mets are going to find the balance here, but there's still variables. Like, there's variables with the Yankees, but we can sit here and say all day, you and I truly believe in Vientos. It's also year two,
and we
got to see it.
Right, we don't know.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating expert. Jim is in Lincoln Park, New Jersey, talking about what, Jim?
Talking about the bottle bat. So I played fast pitch softball way back in the 70s after college, and those bats were called bottle bats. And you know what? If you couldn't hit with a bottle bat, you couldn't hit with a regular bat, it didn't matter what bat you were using. You know? It ain't the arrows, it's the archers.
Mario's calling from Howell. What's up, Mario?
Hey, good morning, guys. Don't you think this was more attributed to who was on the bump this weekend? I mean, Nestor and Civelli, these guys were throwing mozzarella up there. I mean, it had nothing to do. I mean, we're talking about Volpe. The guy's still batting under 200 through three games, right? So it's such a small sample.
Yep.
But, you know, I think it's more attributed to who's on the hill.
I want to see the first shattered bat. Does it look different when it shatters? Does it shatter in a different place?
I wonder what happened. What would have happened if Mike Piazza back in Game 2 of the 2000 World Series was using
he still would have wussed out and done nothing against Clemens.
Well,
that's what would have happened.
It might not have broken. Maybe the ball was hit harder. Maybe the bat doesn't get broken. Maybe Roger would have identified it as a bat. Or he would have been like, oh, I didn't think it was a bat. I thought it was a torpedo. Oh, there you have it. BT and Sal on The Fan. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We've done some other stuff, a little Jets, a little Giants, but it's been mostly the torpedo stuff. You know, it was nice having baseball back this weekend for the first time, although the Mets didn't play yesterday, which is just criminal.
Yeah.
Outside of the baseball, and I know you had the big tournament that you were involved in. You know what my weekend consists of? Because Saturday was a beautiful day, like 80 degrees.
Prepping the pool?
No, we're not there yet.
Okay. Yeah, it is. What am I saying? It just felt like it was a little later in the season.
Yeah. Although I do want to get ahead of that. I'd rather get ahead of it than behind it.
Well, I know you watched every episode of the Patino on Vice.
Bit of that.
So that's...
Well, Saturday was beautiful. So two things happened this weekend. Mm-hmm. My weekend was filled with dog poo and playgrounds. Remember, I've been telling you I had to pick up. I'm telling you, it was at least 15 pounds of Maddox's waste in the backyard.
We got to get ahead of it.
I'm good to go, but I mean, it's been since probably September or October. Oh,
come on. And it doesn't decompose since September?
No, it's just sitting there.
No.
Yeah, I mean, maybe some of it. Dude, I'm telling you, if I were to show you the bag, I had showed my wife, I'm like, look at this. This is what I'm doing. Like, when you say, what are you doing out there? Or what do you do around here? I did this. I picked up for over an hour. My back hurt. My eyes were hurting.
All right, well, let me, a couple questions. First of all, now I could be wrong with the decomposing, but I thought that was one of the benefits to, like, manure, where it just kind of repurposes itself, goes into the soil, and actually helps, like, arborvitaes and trees grow. Maybe not.
I think I was hoping for that, but I went out there. It was everywhere.
I mean, if it's a pile of horse poop, I mean, it sounds pounds. Like you got a horse
I'm
there.
I'm telling you, a garbage bag filled with
it. That's gross. All right,
it is.
But I need to know how you attack this, because there's two ways to do this, right? Two ways to do this if I'm you.
Yeah.
I got to go out and get this damn poop. Honey, where's the garbage bag? That's one way. Or you grab four surf sites, you put the music on, and you go out about your business.
Didn't put the music on, but I did. You know, it was nice to go out there and clean up. I felt good about it afterward. But the worst part, now this is where maybe I attacked it a little differently, the playgrounds.
I miss the kids being little. I don't really miss the playgrounds.
I don't want any part of the playground. So much so that about 10 minutes into the playground, I'm like, how much does a swing set or one of these things cost to just throw in
the
backyard?
Don't do that.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to go out in the public and
waste
deal
the
with
money.
This.
Dude, she's four. She's going to be four. Like, that's you do that right away if you have more than one. If you were to, first of all, it's not cheap, okay?
Yeah, maybe, a couple grand. I already looked into
a lot
it.
More to cut. It depends what you get. But so
a few grand.
I mean, there's upwards of 20 and 30,000. I just don't know what you're thinking.
Out of your mind?
Okay, I didn't think. Okay.
No,
okay.
God.
I got gotcha.
You. What you paid?
Some of them are real. Like some
Did
of
you
the,
do that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we can't. How can we practice
grand?
Sports back there where we get these stupid swings in the way? No, but some of my neighbors have, right? You know me. But my neighbors have, right?
Sorry, and kids, some of, you can't put that in the way of Coltsfield.
She plays too, man. Coltsfield. No, but here's the thing. They outgrow them so fast, and then it's just decomposing poop. It's decomposing wood.
I know.
And then it gets like... It becomes a depressing eyesore, like
we had a
reminder.
Metal one
of,
back in the day.
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't hot in July.
And
in
then
Long
it got rusted over years. But I remembered, I loved it when I was a kid playing in the swing set,
like a seesaw or an actual swing.
There was one with a slide and a swing.
That thing used to be so hot.
Yeah.
The slide, metal.
I'm just saying, as a young kid, I liked it.
Oh no, I didn't have a problem. I liked it too.
So you didn't have any problem taking your kids to the park on a busy. Remember, Saturday is like the first day, and already I knew it was a mistake before we even went. And we pull into the lot, and I'm like, "There's not even going to be parking here." My wife's like, "Oh, it's busy." I'm like, "What'd you think was going to happen?"
It's 80 degrees out.
And meanwhile, Sammy's like, "Playground." Like she couldn't be happier.
She loved it.
But I had to take one. I don't like it. I don't like her running around and potential risking injury.
I get
other
it.
Kids running and going nuts.
Heads on a swivel.
Yeah.
Any dads recognize you talk sports? Because sometimes you're not in the mood to talk. Sometimes
it has happened before, but not this particular time.
Okay, so that's one thing. See, yeah, I wasn't a big playground. I would do, and my daughter didn't cry as much, but I would take my son, I'm talking about when he was like 1 to 1.5, on like a 4-mile loop walk. Just me and him. You know, daddy doesn't have breasts, or at least milk, you know. There's only so many things daddy could do. So that was dad. Give me the bottle. Give me the iPhone with some music. Give me the noisemaker that, like, mommy would download the app that makes all sorts of noises to pacify the kids. Like, I would enjoy doing that, and I really love doing that. The playgrounds, man, there's a lot going on. Kids, like, you can also get some rogue kid who walks up.
That's what I'm saying.
And, like, who might maybe, and I don't make light of this guy, but maybe something wrong, and they could be violent with your door. Like, you got to really, heads on a swivel at the play. I don't miss
That's
that.
That's why I'm going to build the little swing set. Couple grand. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Back to the torpedo stuff. Steve is in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Steve.
I have no issue with the torpedo bats. But I don't like the golf analogy because when somebody enhances their own the golf equipment, it doesn't affect somebody else's statistics and their ability to do their job. I mean, in baseball, you've got two sides to the equation, and that kind of leads me to my main point. I don't know why the Yankees felt the need to make this so public and go get their pats on the back for how great a job they did of analyzing, Volpe's swing. The steroid stuff was going on for a couple of years before people really knew about it.
Yeah.
The Yankees could have had this advantage. Mm. They could have played it out for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
It might have taken them to a World Series, which they haven't won in a long time.
Yeah.
And yet they felt the need. And look, I know that, there's a third party out there selling these things.
Yep.
I know ball players talk
Marucci
to each other.
Makes them.
I get all that. But the Yankees could have downplayed it and tried to brush it under the rug.
All right, Steve, couple of things. Thank you for the call there, Steve. I'm not gonna lie to you, I thought the same thing, and I'm like, why are we talking about this on the Yes Network? Keep this quiet, man. Got a good thing going. In hindsight, that was a foolish take on, even though I didn't verbalize it, like in my own mind, because at that point, transparency is going to win this out. If you're not doing anything wrong, and it truly is up to the spec of Major League Baseball, which it clearly is, we've talked about this 42 inches in length, the diameter 2.51 inches, all the stuff that has been established. If it meets it, why hide anything? And by the way, Bellinger is using different versions with the Cubs in batting practice a year ago. Stanton used it in the postseason a year ago.
No, but it wasn't a big deal.
I know.
And
I know it wasn't.
Now the Yankees have made it a big deal. So it's not about hiding it because you think you're going to get caught. It's about using it as
the competitive advantage.
Your advantage. Because to Steve's point, BT, John Heyman tweeted a little while ago, tons of requests are coming in for the torpedo bat, says MC Huntsbury of Marucci Sports, big torpedo bat supplier. And obviously no surprise there. So Heyman tweeting that out. We mentioned the Braves. Buster only said on Sunday Night Baseball, this was not happening if the Yankees didn't go out there and make it known and then have the level of success that they did.
It wasn't happening today. I believe it would have happened anyway. Do you really think with all these internet sleuths and social media looking for certain things, like, do you really think now? We missed it a year ago with Stanton. I didn't realize he was using a different bat.
Which is bizarre that we wouldn't be able to identify that.
Were you really looking for it, though?
No, but don't you think... I know. We're going to have an eye on it.
Somebody should have picked up on it.
I mean, I would think for the way that we micro, analyze all this stuff or scrutinize every, inch of the tape and the replays, none of us... It wasn't even... Like, nobody mentioned it.
So let me ask you this. Let's, to the last caller's point and to what you just said as well. Say if the Yankees did not talk... Say if Michael didn't talk about this on the broadcast, right? How long you think this goes before... You think they actually can hide this for the whole season?
Well, it wasn't talked about opening day. Not one person in the building mentioned it. After the fact, nobody mentioned it. They didn't hear about it until Kay brought it to everybody's attention.
No.
And then what followed made it even more. If the Yankees don't hit, 15 home runs, I don't think it gets as much attention. But I also, if Michael Kay doesn't bring it up, it probably doesn't get this
probably
much attention.
Probably doesn't get any attention. Right. Well, maybe there's a little silver lining here. Maybe, 15, 20 years ago, Hal, unknowingly to all of us, invested in Marucci bats. And by him actually putting this out there for the public, now this just means the Yankee payroll will go back to what it once was. And more than everybody else, can make more money.
Marucci bats are going to take over. And then, of course, other bat companies are going to do the same thing.
Yes.
And if you want your, Mizuno, whatever, Rawlings or Louisville.
Easton's
Slugger,
a big one, Victus is pretty big. Victus, I think, already has one. Victus, a wood bat company.
Andrew's calling from Stamford, Connecticut. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, bud.
Hey, guys. So, two things. One, to get it back onto baseball and off the bats. You guys were talking EQ and IQ a while ago. That's the total reason why Cashman is a terrible GM. On the bats, if you guys actually wanted to ban them, you just say that the bats either have to increase in radius or be a constant radius throughout the barrel.
Yeah, I would say that they should all be uniform in shape. The constant radius. The handle can be... thin, and then from, let's just say, from the label on down, it has to be a certain circumference. Again, I don't know.
I don't have an issue with it.
But I think it is odd. While I give the Yankees credit for being smart and ahead of the curve, I think it is odd that we play a game with one ball that everybody uses, but yet now we could use multiple bats.
Yeah, but in the NFL, doesn't the home team supply like balls and like the kicking, the K-ball,
yeah,
the
play,
right?
I don't know.
Is everything...
Two bats? You're going to have two different type of bats?
Hey, you want my honest opinion? Let everybody else figure it out. Just keep cranking out some home runs.
Yeah, and ultimately,
knock yourself out.
Ultimately, do you even think that it matters that much? And I really don't.
I don't know. I can't say no.
Well, we're going to find out.
I can't say no. That's an inordinate amount of home runs.
Yeah, I get it. Well, they did hit 10 last year in three games against Milwaukee. Evan is on Long Island. What's up, Evan?
Hey, guys. How you doing? First time caller. You guys do a great job. Thank you. I don't, like many people, I don't have a problem, per se, with the bat itself. What I'm having a problem with, particularly, and it's put into context, I am a Yankee fan. I don't like, particularly on social media, you guys aren't guilty of it, but on social media, essentially the Yankees are being called cheaters. And I think we can all agree, that this is a bat that has been approved by Major League Baseball.
Yeah. Yep, it's legal.
And that's right, it is legal. So, you want to have that conversation regarding the bat and whether it's eight teams or individuals, that's great. But to call the Yankees cheaters, I think that's out of line.
It's unfair.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.